pain. It's like my dreams out of reach. This pain and all this grief. If you see God and you have to speak, tell him it's crazy in these streets. Feel my pain and you're so deep.
You're on Pastor Phil. Welcome to Church on the Block, real talk about hip-hop, the church, and the streets with my great co-host, Pastor Jay and Ruck Boy on Holy Culture Radio, Sirius XM. You got the right channel, yo. You want the right station right here, channel 140, Holy Culture Radio, Sirius XM, man. We are here with Church on the Block, real talk about hip-hop, the church, and the streets. We in the building. We're in your car. We're here with the phenomenal, extravagant, powerful.
I ain't doing too much. I ain't doing too much.
Great friend of mine, man. Great MC, great leader, businessman, my brother, Aaron McCain, brother Cannon. Y'all know him as Cannon. What's up, Aaron? What's up, man?
Man, what's up, Phil? First of all, it's good to see you. Second of all, thank you for having me on here. But third of all, man, It feel like it's been a long time. I can't wait to come back down to Chicago.
I know, so. And the long time has been all on video. Like, we got to get to shaking up and hanging, and being in person, man.
So when we I would love to get up. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully soon, by the summertime or something.
Yes. We trying to plan that, man. June 1st. Y'all heard it here.
Come on.
At the house relaunch, baby. The house relaunch.
Hold on. So, cause you know, back in the day, the house was bussing. You know what I'm saying? Like, that mug was going crazy. So the relaunch kicks off June 1st.
Yes. So we're gonna move it.
Okay.
June 1st, first Saturday of every month after that time. So it's the house relaunch. Yeah.
I got so many memories from the house, man. I remember you being on stairs. I'm a new kind of rapper.
Yeah.
No, my best rhymes. You know what I'm saying? I remember, man, original House MCs.
Ooh,
I remember Leak, Nicky, what's it called? Omega GA. man, Scroll, Terrence. Scroll. You know what I'm saying? Man, it's just everybody. Like, I am Mosh, everybody. Yeah. Man, just. It's so much history if you just know about the house in Chicago. It's like different generations of the house. You know what I'm saying? It's generational. So because it was like even when I went back to college, man, it was still bussing. So I can't wait to see who all gonna show up when you relaunch it on the first man. So that's fire.
Christian Brothers, remember them cats? The Christian Brothers, man.
Oh yeah, it was crazy.
They was like the the Dirty South of Chicago. They all came with that like masterpiece style.
I remember Marcus, he was up there. Who else? Theo. I know Theo's still around, right?
Theo's still doing his thing, man. Yep.
Yeah,
still
around. Everybody, man. Everybody. Mama was up there. Man, what's it called? Mama Brenda.
Oh, yeah.
Man,
yeah.
Shout out to RIP Mama Brenda, man. That was like another mama. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Like, she was like everybody mama.
To the window, to the walls. It was one of her poems.
Oh, man. I still remember some of them lines she said that made everybody be like, ooh.
Somebody better
say so. Yeah.
Classic poem.
Man, it was good times.
Classic, man. So, yeah, we're bringing it back. June 1st, man. We want you to be there, and we want other alumni to come through, man, and have some stuff set up for you throughout the weekend as well, man. And we're going to talk about some other projects you're working on. But man, how are you doing, man? How are you in the artistry, like as an artist, man? Who's being pulled on both from the culture, from the people, from the fans. How are you maintaining the passion of when you first started, like when you first started, I got Jesus in my hood, Jesus in my hood. I'm telling you, bring that back.
Hey, you know what's funny? I think I just, oh man. So, all right. I don't even know if I could talk about this. There's a certain television station that is interviewing me. And so I'm telling him about that time in my life. Wow. And I sent that video to him because I still got it. Yeah, I sent that video to him, one I made when I was in high school.
Yeah.
But also I sent them some clips of the house from back in the day because I was like, yo, can you show us some can you show us some of your earlier, you know what I'm saying, like childhood, like rapping in the church or something like that?
Wow.
And I was like, yeah. So I sent them a couple video clips of when we was in the house back in the day. Hopefully they highlight this June 1st.
Yeah.
So that, you know what I'm saying, not only do y'all got you know what I'm saying, you got the pop off on June 1st, but then you also got some TV coverage as well. So hopefully the time frame will sync up real dope.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's, I might have to put a bird in there, let them know, like, hey man, put this out in June.
I need you to send me them clips.
Oh, actually, I'm gonna tell them put out in May. I'm gonna tell them put out in May. So
yeah,
that way, you know what I'm saying, y'all get some promo before June hit and everybody show up on June. So
Right. Yeah, send me those clips too. I like to get those clips, man. So I got them.
They still on YouTube, actually.
What?
I might have to send you the link. I might just send you the link. But yeah, I got you. I got you. They old school for real. Yeah. I got you though.
And we done forgot the link, the YouTube password to get up in this section. So yeah, anything you got will be good that way, man.
I got you.
So you know, before we dive into some other things, man, just what is it that you do as an artist, man, as a Christian artist, MC, producer, you know, do to maintain both, you know, the balance of the art, staying true to it in that call, and then the relevancy as things change in your own life. You know, not Nas, it was Andre 3000, you know, who had been interviewed about his new album or whatever, and people were like, he didn't rhyme. And he was like, man, what am I going to rap about? Like, I know a colonoscopy. We're like, yes, rhyme about the colonoscopy. it was like, see what's happening in the land and then create within your style, you know, that move. But sometimes artists get lost in the fact that they are relevant with what they're experiencing right now. And there's a ton of people who want to hear both the happy, the joys, the struggles, and the successes of life at that particular maturity. So how do you balance all that, man, and stay relevant in the context of your passion?
Such a long-winded question.
I know, man. I know. Windy City. I gotta bring that.
Hey, but I got you. I got you. Look, and people want to know. People wonder where I get it from. I mean, right. Like, all right, you must not know Phil. Hey, no, I love it though. Oh man, so I would say, man, in the most simplest way, you know, I think we change as people, we evolve as people, so our music should too, as creatives, you know. As we get older and as we mature, we should all, our music, our craft, our art, our approach to things, our perspective on life should also mature as well. And so, you know, stuff that I used to rap about back in the day, I probably don't rap about now because, you know, back in the day, I was rapping about stuff that was relevant to me during that time frame where I was at, you know, whether I was in high school or college. If I'm dealing with high school issues, I'm talking about high school, you know.
If I'm
in college, I'm probably going to talk about how I'm tired and I'm tired of working. You know what I'm saying? I wrote some songs like that, you know, how I'm broke. I ain't got no money. Like, you know, but then as I'm older, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm talking about my life now, you know, my involvement in the culture or like my involvement, within, you know, relationships or within the church, you know, or even outside of the church, you know, what I want to do with my career musically. So like there's just different responsibilities that come up now. That I may discuss in my music because I evolve as a person. So I think to keep that balance, I think you just continue to stay true, one, to yourself, but you position people, you position yourself around people that also know you for who you are. Mm-hmm. Like when I'm rapping with Derek or RMG, Derek know me. Like, you know, when I'm coasting on a track when I'm just like doing what's easy. So he gonna challenge me and be like, hey, I know you can get away with this verse, but I'm not finna let you get away with this verse. You did this too easy. You ain't even challenged by this verse. And I can hear you're not challenged by this verse. Wow. So go ahead, go back and redo it. Cause I know, yes, it'll work. Yes, it's dope. But no, like, give me your best. So, you know, having people around me like that always challenges me. Like, we don't just go in the studio and be like, all right, that's cool. Next. Like, no, like, It's like, nah, like, give me your best. If it's whack, it's whack. If it's trash, it's trash. Give me something that's actually dope. Because one, we got to live off this stuff, you know? Like,
right.
This ain't no hobby for me.
Right.
Yeah, this ain't no hobby for me. Like, I gotta live off of music. This gets me to the next point. A lot of times when it comes to my career, whether it's another show, another interview, you know, another collab feature with another artist, whatever it might be, another look, promotional look, whatever it might be. Like, for me, this is life for me. So, you know, the quality got to be there. The standard got to be high. All
ESPN,
of that.
ESPN may grab it. You never know.
Hey, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, which has already happened. So,
I know.
You know, we just try to make sure the quality stay up there. The standard is high. But also just in life too, you know, just being able to have some brothers that can call me out on my own stuff, my own mess. I'm not perfect. I know I mess up a lot of times, but just being able to have brothers that can call me whenever and just be like, hey, so what's up? Like, where you been at? Like, what's life looking like? How your heart looking? You know?
Right.
And when we had them real conversations, some music come out of them conversations, you know? So I'm not trying to get on the record talking about how I'm gonna stump the devil head. Like, I'm trying to talk about how we're going to get through life. Like, I'm mid-30s now, and I'm like, look, life is real. I'm not talking about no hypothetical, nothing. Like, we got to talk about what's real. You know, brothers out here suffering in silence. You know what I'm saying? You got, you know, women who trying to find their identity and what's what today. You know, you got on social media all type of women getting BBLs and all type of facelifts and whatnot. And you trying to teach your woman that, hey, it's beautiful to be natural. Like, it's, we having different kinds of conversations now, you know.
Man,
there's a lot of stuff that's being talked about now, you know. So it's just, as you grow and mature and your perspective matures, so should your content, you know. So
did you hear about the lady who got the BBL and then went home and was feeling sick, but they took her kidney? They gave her the BBL.
I heard that one.
While she was asleep, they done took her kidney.
No, I gotta do my Googles. I don't know about that one.
In the black market, I was like, yo, just trust in what God's given you and just work out. Just get in shape. I don't know what to do about that.
See, you should have never got nothing done. You should have just left it the way it was. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of guys like it natural anyway, to be honest. Like, I would love to see that kind of become a thing now with just people love the natural look kind of thing, you know. Yeah. But, I mean, to each his own. I'm not here to judge people, but.
Kendrick Lamar said, I want the stretch marks. Don't be photoshopped.
Give it a stretch mark. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, ain't nothing wrong with natural beauty, you know. But when we put that in the media, man, I think the media got its own agenda. You know, we live in a capitalistic society where everybody got to get paid for whatever side hustle business they got. So, you know, it's always some kind of agenda put on the people just so that, you know, people can get paid. It's a business.
Right.
You know, so, but, you know, if they can make 100 versions of Kim Kardashian, then and people like to pay for that as a bit, like, no, why not? You know,
right.
They're gonna make their money however they can, you know.
So as we talk on our show, you know, real talk about hip hop, the church, and the streets, and we talk to different artists, and as things evolve and new music's coming out and new thoughts are happening, what are your thoughts, real talk, about your music and the church? We'll talk about that. Like, we talk about the show is Church on the Block. So real talk about the church, like, in your music, what areas are you trying to challenge the church, encourage the church, or the body of Christ, universal in that way, or not? Like, just the challenges that you as you look at music, editing, or just conceptually, to push the envelope about faith in the church.
I would say, man, my relationship with the church, is still growing. You know, like, I was known to start off in the church. I was known to, I mean, you know, Phil, I was at the house. I was at Lyndale. Before I was at Lyndale's at my grandfather's church at Greater Way.
Yeah.
You know, and then I went to, you know, Memphis, and then I, you know, joined other churches from there on.
Yeah.
You know, I've always had a place in the church, but because of that, you tend to see a lot of things in the church that you might disagree with, you know, that you might get hurt by, burnt by, burnt out from.
Right.
And I think my relationship with the church today, before I even connected to the music, I would say mine is one that's healing. Cause I remember just me getting burnt out for a period of time from just church, burnt out from just seeing people, you know, have a lower standard than what they appear to have, you know, on the forefronts. You know, just seeing the church fail in different ways. You know, when, you know, the pandemic came around, it was hard to see how the church would respond to certain issues. You know, even when it came to politics, it was hard for me to digest how the church just kind of was okay with certain rhetoric that was given out to our politics and what's going on in the media.
Right.
So for me, I've had a disappointment with the church over time, but I'm learning to come back and realize like, okay, well, we're not all perfect. You know, we all have our struggles. We're not all in the same place spiritually. So, you know, there might be some areas where we all need to grow in, but I can only focus on myself. I can only focus on my own personal walk, where I'm at, and hold myself accountable to where I'm at.
Yeah.
I can't hold the Church of America accountable. But what I can do is challenge the church with my music. And that's where I'm at now, where I'm like, all right, for those who are within that space, who maybe have been burnt out from the church, or they feel that they can't find where they fit in the church. I got music for you. You know, if they, you know, when you got the guy who's just kind of like, man, I've been to church, but man, it just feels like religion. I don't really feel real. It don't feel like a real faith. You know, or man, I'm burnt by the culture of the church.
Right.
You know, I'm like, man, I got music for you. Now I'm not finna give you a whole, you know, repertoire of music where I'm just angry at the church. But But I will say, you know, I do want to be able to give music that will encourage people when they consider church, you know, and help them redefine how to look at the church and how to build that relationship with the church.
That's real talk. That's real talk. Yo, we're going to come back, man. We're going to check out some music in a second from Cannon, man. Church on the Block. Real talk about hip hop, the church in the street. Stay right there. Sirius XM 140. Hold on. Thank you for being with us, Church on the Block. I know you're here with us every Sunday. You can't even wait to get up to check out the show on Church on the Block. 9 a.m. Central Time, Sirius XM 140, Holy Culture Radio. That's right. We're back here with my man, with my friend, with the great leader, great MC, great husband, Cannon, Aaron McCain, MC Spook. That's right. Sir Spook a lot.
Man. Why y'all ain't tell me that name was a derogatory name in Chicago, man? Why ain't y'all tell me Spook was a whole different type of it?
You know, derogatory in the hood. We use derogatory to flip it backwards.
He was like, I thought you was redeeming it.
right. We coming in.
I ain't even know. I swear, like I didn't even know people use that word in a derogatory way till I got to the South.
The black people.
When I got to the South, it was like, what's your name? I was like, Spook. It was like, nah, we can't do that here. You can't be here. You got to change your name.
Spook in the South. Yeah.
You ain't finna have these white folks coming around here calling you Spook. Oh, nah,
We got us one now. We got us one right here. Yeah, he didn't claim it himself.
Dog, that's so funny.
We said, all right, Spook. All right, we rolling. Holy Ghost, Spook. We got it. All right, we rolling.
Man, it's still a nickname. If you was around me during that time, like I still answer to it. You know, you remember they used to call me and be like, Spooky Dookie. Hey, Spooky Dookie. So I remember that, man. That's still a childhood nickname for me, man. I still love it.
Yeah, yeah. Like you go to family reunion, that's gonna be coming up.
Yep.
So, man, what is your take on like Christian hip hop culture, like the evolution of it? I mean, you've been in it for a long time, like the place where it is now. Because at one point, and we talk about this all the time, old heads who've been around for a minute, man, there was nowhere to find Christian hip hop music. You had to find it in a bookstore in the bottom shelf, and you had to maybe an African American led bookstore. I know it's Chicago. Pastor Meeks had a bookstore. Other folks, it wasn't on the radio as much. I mean, I had a radio show in Chicago and in Kansas City, and we was playing it all the time. But now you got Boost FM. You got stuff playing all over the place, right? And you got Holy Culture Radio rocking it, right? And so you got movements where it's been pushing the envelope, and now you got cats winning Grammys, even more so, and attention around that. So, what is your perspective on the Christian hip hop culture?
Man, well, I would say I'm proud of the culture. I'm proud of a lot of the artists that are out now. You know, when it comes to a culture, obviously it evolves. So, you know, there's always going to be new generations of things. You know, we had, remember back in the day, you know, you had T-Bone and what's it called? Gospel Gangsters and, you know, Truth. And Truth is still spitting to this day, you know.
Yeah.
Flame. Cross Movement, all of them, you know. And so it's evolved into so much of what we see today. I think the heart of Christian hip hop has always been, we're going to be bold about our faith. And I think that's always been good. I think sometimes what was disheartening during the time that I was coming up was I would hear songs where it just kind of felt like we versus them a lot of times, where it was you know, we over here, y'all over there. And, you know, it almost kind of seemed like we separated ourselves from the world to a point where we acted like we were almost higher than, to a degree, with how we came about things lyrically with some songs.
Yeah.
And so it just kind of felt like, you know, even in my comment section sometimes, you know, I would back in the day see like folks arguing, you know, about, you know, what is culturally okay, what's not okay, what are you allowed to do, what you can't do.
Right.
And so, you know, I would get this vibe of like, Pharisaical self-righteousness to a degree in the culture. And you just feel people like going back and forth arguing. And for me, I think that was always like, I think that was always disheartening. I mean, in a small period of time, like I thought it was dope at first. I was like, man, I ain't normally around folks that want to just like go at it like theologically, you know. But then after a while, you just kind of see folks like, it's like it becomes a thing where it's like they just want to be right. Well, you just want to be heard. You just want to be seen.
Yeah.
You just want to be seen as somebody who knows a lot about their Bible, but you don't really love people.
Right.
And so like, for me, like I just, you know, I'm just kind of like, I got disappointed with Christian hip hop for a period of time, because I'm just like, when do we get back to the, you know, love people, love God, love people, you know, when do we get back to the, I'm here to serve and give my life to the cause. And so like, you know, but you know, it's evolved, you know, there's different generations of that version. And so now what we see, I think, is just to land that plane. what I feel like I see is just another generation of young folks who love God. They love God within culture. They love their faith. They love to communicate their faith and culture. You know, and I think I appreciate it because it gives people the freedom to talk about their faith.
Right.
Now, I would love to see more people talk more about like what's going on in their life in real time.
Right.
Not what you used to do 20 years ago or not what you, you know, hope to do. But like, what are you actually effectively doing right now? How do you get through your struggles? How do you get through life? You know, like how do you wrestle with paying bills on time as a full-time artist?
Right.
You know, like, let's talk about that. You know, I would love to see more like Jay-Z like artists in the culture where you got more OGs giving you game. Like, how do you get a Grammy? All right. If you're going to get a Grammy, tell us, how do we get one? If you got five, you figure something out. Right. How do we get one?
Right.
You know? You know, I would love to kind of see that a little bit more. But, you know, but at the same time, I'm not going to knock what's already happening. So, you know, I think, man, it definitely has encouraged, you know, people from time to time. I got fans that are strictly Christian hip hop, you know, fans.
Right.
But I also got fans who are not within Christian hip hop. But I know Christian hip hop has definitely had its place and it's still thriving. So, you know, shout out to everybody doing it now and every artist that's out now. They killing it. Oh, and the women are killing it, too. The women are killing it.
Yeah,
it's, man, like a child like CC, Portia Love, Juan Day, like the list goes on. Like it's so many female artists. Hold on.
No, you good. You good.
It's so many female artists that's killing it right now. Like and if I Toya Love, she got a Steppers joint. Like it's a lot of dope females just killing it right now. Wow. So which was different back in the day. I didn't know a lot of female Christian hip hop artists like that back in the day.
Right.
You know, we knew Drea back in the day. You know what I'm saying? She would get on.
So virtuous.
So virtuous, you know. You know what I'm saying? But like, I didn't know, you know, and also like Mahogany Jones. Shout out Mahogany Jones. Whoa. She's still going right now. She's still going crazy. She's been doing stuff with what's it called?
The Union.
It's almost like they got a group now. Pastavia. Uh-huh. And his son Lee, what's it called? Bria Miles. Like they got a whole situation going. So I just feel like the women are like, they creating their own presence, you know, and I think that's dope, you know, because a lot of times you just see the men in the front, you know, doing their thing, and the women don't get a lot of shine. Now the women are starting to get that shine that they deserve. So it's good to see that evolving in the culture.
Right, right. And it is. And they ain't asking nobody. They coming in. They coming in both. You know, they coming in hard.
Yeah.
We want to do a whole show on several Christian female MCs, and then we take them one at a time back and forth. But just to introduce more people to them in that way, man. You're right. You know, it was a time in Christian hip-hop and ministries and churches were the places where folks felt that that's where I'm going to perform. I'm going to rhyme. That's where I'm going to be approved. Yet those particular churches and places aspire to a particular theological perspective. Right. And yet, and because hip hop didn't start in the church, it was always shunned and suspected from the beginning. You could have been rapping you could have been rhyming Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You could have been, well, why did you say it? You didn't say the Apocrypha. Folks would have had issues. So it held back what was pure to hip hop, which is both being real, relevant, you know, and respectful. Like, what's going on in this end, and how do I bring hope to it in this context, right? And so, and some stuff ain't always going to be as comfortable for the church to hear, even though it's truth. And so, then you got this, you got this kind of controlled narrative of what cats are going to rhyme about, because who's going to buy this? I mean, who's going to get this out there? Or even if they don't buy it, who's going to pump it up and support it? And so only cats rhyming about what was right to rap about in the word and in hip hop, or what was right to rap about theologically to a certain group of people. Most of the time, white evangelicals in that context too, you know? And so whether they had the purse strings or whatever. But then you find certain cats every once in a while leaking out. Corey Redd, Lavoisier, a cat from New York, his stuff will come out. Then you find Gospel Gangsters. T-Bone kind of shifted a little bit after Gospel Gangsters album came out. So Tunnel Rats, who's battle rapping all the time. So
you
find that evolution. And I think just like gospel music, it ebbs and flows. When you got the traditional music, and then you got Thomas Dorsey coming, who played bass and jazz and all the kind of stuff, keyboards. And he brought in that to the church, and the church was, oh my gosh, pianos and music in the church. And then all of a sudden, but people came back to faith. And then as that became a norm, then you got a different contemporary. You got Andre Crouch, and Andre Crouch come with Oh Happy Day, and a bunch of people left the church, they come back to the church. Then that lasted for a while, and then Kirk Franklin with Stomp. And all of a sudden it began to be, oh my God, and then another group. So God uses the remnants of people in music, I think, and several times, especially in the Black gospel context, to bring people an awareness that God ain't forgot about you. We just got to be bold enough not to worry about the industry. We got to be bold enough to be relevant to what God's called us to be in those spaces, you know?
Yeah, I would also say, like, you know, like, I think back in the day, people were really looking for the approval of their youth pastors and youth leaders for them to really be out on their own as Christian rap artists sometimes. And, you know, I'm glad, like, now today's artists, they're not as concerned about that. Like, they're trying to step out on their own, you know, and that doesn't mean that they're not, like, you know, without a covering, you know, like with a spiritual, without a spiritual father. But, you know, but it's good to see that they're willing to step out on their own, because a lot of times, a lot of that pushback wasn't from the culture. It was from folks really outside of the culture.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of that pushback was from people that really didn't understand the culture. And, you know, and I remember, I remember you know what I'm saying, having to, you know, talk about this stuff about, man, you know, people having an issue with church, with hip hop in the church.
Right,
and
right.
I remember having them conversations, you, Ephraim Smith, you know, and it just became a thing where it's just like, man, like, why do we even have to explain this? You should know that God can redeem all things to himself. Like, why are we having this conversation? Like, you know, you just got a personal vendetta against it or something, you know, or you just not up on the times or what's going on. But it's just good to see that people have evolved. They're not really worried about that no more. They ain't tripping about that. They're doing their own thing. So
right. And you know, nothing changes because somebody was waiting on it to change. I mean, when people double dutch, they're not waiting on you to slow the rip thing. They're like,
they're going in.
And they get in that joint, right? So in the context mm-hmm. of what should, what I believe is you know, what's you're called to in that space is the answer to God's prayer with what they say, the Lord's Prayer, really the prayer that Christ taught his disciples. Only thing the disciples asked to be taught was how to pray. And,
right.
And he said, you know, God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God said, I want down here to look like up there in hip hop. I want down here mm-hmm. to look like up here with senior citizen ministry, with handicapped ministry,
right.
With folks on the street, down here to look like up there. And so I say that there is a prompting in your heart in whatever field, especially in music that you're in, that God is saying, dadgummit, down here don't look like up there in this style of music and this and the messages. Don't be waiting till the time is right. Go for it, because there's a remnant of people, mm-hmm. just like with Thomas Dorsey, Andre Crouch, Kirk Franklin, that have been waiting, like, finally, that's what I need. You know, some cats need that hype. They need that that Glowchella. I got to go out to California.
You know what I'm saying? Like, shout out to Miles Minnick with Glowchella, by the way. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doing his thing. Like, God called us to be upright, not uptight. You know what I'm saying? Like, he called us to be upright, not uptight. Like, butt cheek. You know, feel me? You know what I'm saying? Because you don't want to get gassed up. You know, feel me? Nah, seriously, I think, man, we've had to come a long way with just being able to just like find our own identity in this space. Because there's points of times like people were trying to recycle the same type of artist because they felt like that would work, or people would try to recycle the same type of marketing because I feel like that worked. But now you just got people from different kinds of platforms. You got Miles Minnick on the West Coast, but then you got Caleb from I'm drawing blanks. I'm thinking about everybody at the same time. but you got so many artists now, man, that have their own flavor, their own style.
Right.
And they, you know, they bring their own thing. You know, it's everybody not trying to be on the same wave. Now, sometimes we get caught up in the same wave, but it's good to see so many artists step out on their own right now. So
right. I appreciate D1. You know, we had D1 this year for the Fire Fest, and we had my man LaRussell out of Vallejo, California, right? So we had a cat from Vallejo, California. Speaking truth, the man
that's got huge.
So much real hip hop stuff he bring it. I had to bring him out. Mm-hmm. I believe all truth is God's truth, whether you claim it is or not. And it was powerful. You know, and then D1 came and spit his piece, man, and we did some more stuff with him. But like just being bold about that. I mean, hip hop has always been that movement of that level of boldness in that context. And you can't wait for it. Others to approve your boldness, and then you go for it. You know, it's and it may not even be. It may seem bold to others, but it may seem normal to you because of what's on your heart. You know, Muggs start catching football with one hand now. That wasn't the thing mm-hmm. when in the 80s. Muggs just wanted to throw a bomb all the time, right? And have a good arm. Now Muggs is catching and practicing, having plays laid out where they catch a pass with one hand. Somebody stretched the envelope. Somebody pushed the envelope. And I'm saying, if you're suspect until they're ready for you catching passes with one hand, then they'll never be ready. Yeah, we're going to be right back, man. We got to hear some music. Church on the Block. Real talk about hip-hop, the church, and the streets. Man, we're here with Cannon, Aaron McCain, Church on the Block. Be right back. Man, Church on the Block, we in it today. We in it today, man. You are listening to The Right Space, Channel 140. SiriusXM Holy Culture Radio, man. We're here with Cannon, Aaron McCain, good brother, good friend, man. Love him, known him for 20 years or so, man. Great friend, great family. And that to me is the foundation of what is the platform of any artistry. Like, you gotta have that root. You can't be phony kicking it. You can, but it's gonna catch up with you one day, man. You know?
Thanks. And,
man, we talked to people about some music. What are we about to listen to now? What's the song we're about to listen to right now?
Man, so the song I want to play for y'all is called Home Run, you know, and I mean, the whole premise of the song is, man, just keep swinging, you know, like keep swinging at life, keep swinging at your mental health, keep swinging at your identity, like keep swinging at your spiritual health, keep swinging at your physical health. You're going to always have some folks in the crowd that's booing you. You know, you're always going to have some folks in the crowd that's going to be hating on you. But the thing is, man, you keep swinging until you get from base to base to base, and then until God call you home. Yeah. So, man, this joint is called Home Run, man. And the thing is, like, you know, we've been doing this for a long time. That's why I'm saying, you know, been hitting home runs. I ain't got a slide. I'm taking my time. Gonna get in your bag. I'm gonna get in mine, taking my time. So I'm just saying, like, you know, this is just stuff that I've learned within my faith. Like, you got to continue to push through. You got to continue to overcome. You got to continue to keep swinging at life, because God gonna keep throwing curveballs, but it's for your good, you know. So whether you in training or whether you on the field right now, keep swinging.
I love swinging. I love that, because you never know once you swing where that's gonna go and where that's gonna take and lead you. But if you didn't swing, you'd be like, man, I don't know why I'm still in the same spot. But you keep swinging, you realize there's so much more grace on the other side of that, and you would have never fully experienced that if you would have held back.
If people listen to the song and they are familiar with my music, you might hear a sample in there that I threw in there, just to kind of give a nod to some of my older music. A long time ago, I came out with a song called Motivation, and I pulled that out with like I did that joint with Social Club with Marty and Fern. And when we did Motivation, man, it was just like this cohesive, like I remember I had this birthday party. They came through. It was a house party. I was like, yo, let's go to the studio real quick. Let's go upstairs in the studio. Let's listen to some records. And I played Motivation for them. And it was like, yo, what is this? I was like, man, I just produced this. What you think? It's like, we got to work on this together. I was like, bet, I'm going to send you the track. We're going to work on it. We're going to do something with it. So we did. We made Motivation. But then, like, man, like almost like 10 years later, I come out with Home Run, where I use that same sample. And then I kind of mix a little bit of both. So like I like to use some of my older beats and mix them with my new stuff too, and kind of create a new vibe with it. So, but yeah, it's one of my favorite songs right now, honestly. But
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Now they can get that right now. That song's out right now.
It's out right now. It's everywhere right now. Go check it out. All platforms is out.
All platform. And you can get it here, special for 40% off at the fight. No.
Facts. I don't get it.
So, man,
don't get it.
What is your take on the Grammys and stuff like that? I know that was a few weeks ago now, but like, what is your take on it? Like,
I mean, I think it's good to see again a new wave of artists that are coming out. And I'm gonna be like, I didn't see the entire Grammys.
Yeah.
I saw a good portion of it though. But the parts that I did see, I loved. I love when Jay-Z got up there and he gave his speech. You know, just about like, man, you got to show up. You got to continue to show up.
True.
And I love what he was saying, because there's been parts of my career where I'm like, I don't see the need to show up anymore. Like, why? I remember times getting burnt out, wanting to quit rapping. I'm not seeing the results that I've worked hard for. And, you know, times when I felt discouraged, like, man, maybe I shouldn't even come no more. Maybe I shouldn't even show up no more. Mm. Maybe I shouldn't even put out records anymore.
Yeah.
Why even do this festival? Why even do these conferences anymore? Why even perform in churches anymore? Like, I'm not seeing any real benefit for myself. And I just remember being discouraged and looking at everybody else around me and then looking at myself and just wanting to quit many times.
Right.
But then like realizing like, man, you don't get anything that you didn't put no work into. You know, my mom always taught me nothing beat a failure but a try. So you got to continue to keep trying, keep throwing stuff at the wall until you see something stick.
Right.
If Killer Mike can get an award, can get a Grammy,
three.
So can you. You know what I'm saying? Lecrae got five. You know what I'm saying? Like, You don't necessarily have to be a certain type of artist to get a Grammy. But I will say, you know, sometimes Grammy, I feel like sometimes people may show a little bit more favoritism. I don't even really listen to Taylor Swift, but she got her Grammy. You know, she got tons of them now. Right. You know, but I love what Jay-Z was saying just about like, man, sometimes the metrics just don't add up. And I be feeling that way sometimes too when it comes to like, you know, our recognition in the culture. Sometimes, man, you feel like you got robbed or, you know, or you feel like something just, you know, stole whatever you was trying to work on or whatever it might be. But I love the fact that he continued to show up as an example, whether he felt obligated to, whether he was doing sort of to, you know, support Beyonce or not. I think during that speech, man, I really felt connected to what he was saying. So I love the performances, you know. I think the tributes were really, really good. You know, they gave a lot of tributes to like folks who are not artists who are no longer here now. I think that's always important, man, because you want to give homage, pay homage to people who paved the way. You know, and again, going back to what Jay-Z said, it's just like, and I want y'all to get it right. We just really want y'all to get things right. And I think that's even within the church, I apply that. I mean, it's just like as an artist, as a Black Christian artist, when it comes to just, you know, people supporting our music, the church supporting our music, which is like, y'all just get it right. Like, you know, put us on the right stages. You know, we don't want to have to share the same category with, you know, CCM or gospel. Like, give us our own situation, you know. You know, just like get it right when it comes to the culture. Get it right when it comes to who we are as artists and what we represent. In other words, get to know us, you know, become a part of it, you know, have a hand in it.
I think at one point the Grammys didn't even look at no Christian artists or nothing like that, right? And Muggs had to have their own award shows. I think that the uniqueness of what an artist is going to bring and the freshness of it, like Jay Quest, you know, his label was like good music. Just make good music, and you make good music for the fact that you have a message, you have a word, you have inspiration in you that you want to get out. And in and of itself, that creates, man, what is that song? What is that? And, that's a Christian. Mm-hmm. That's cold. And I think that, that you start with that. Right. And then whatever, you know, nobody's making music to get on award shows. It's like something in me, has got to be banging. You want to make it excellent. You want to make it hot. You want all the flavors in that gumbo, but in the context of you loving it and the people who are loving it with you, that's great. But you don't make it so that one day that gumbo is going to be like on TV and that comes, right? And I think sometimes the weight of what those shows may do and bring can kind of give kind of a false positive in some regards, right? Or a false negative, even like your stuff ain't no good because it was on there. Now, that ain't the case. It just the community of people who vote on it, that's a different kind of edge that they may have in that spot.
Right.
You know? So talk a little bit about, like, if you can, I know some stuff may not be able to talk about what's going on, but do you have some stuff that you want to share that you are working on?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, we always working on new stuff, man. Like, you know, one, I'm been working on Loose Cannon Volume 4. I know my fans are probably like, Cannon, that project is never coming. You've been saying this for years. That project ain't never coming. Nah, it's on the way. But we had to put a pause on that so we can get something else ready. We got something we've been working on for like 3 years. I can't talk too much about what it is and what's it called. Obviously, it's another project. But I'm excited for it because, man, we get a chance to just talk about like just real life as it is and how life has been. You know, people who have been healing, people who have been challenged to lead and be put in the positions of being heroes and leaders. Man, what I want to do moving forward is with my brand and my platform is to be able to highlight other leaders, highlight other folks who are putting themselves in positions to help their community, build up the people around them for the better, you know, and I'm tag teaming with my brother on all of this. And, you know, I want to be able to say, like, there's a lot of people who are doing significant work in their communities, but a lot of times they don't get a lot of shine. A lot of times they don't get a lot of a lot of love from the outer world. And I want to be able to use my platform to say, hey, not all heroes wear capes. Mm-hmm. You know, check out these folks who are actually doing real good work. Mm-hmm. You know, shout out Phil Jackson, you know, with the house and the firehouse, you know, you know, people who've been doing it for years and years and years. And, you know, they get their love and they get their props, but they'll never get enough roses. They could never get enough roses. And so we just want to make sure we take time to highlight folks and give them their roses while they're still alive, not try to do this memorial when they're gone. But and show them, man, like, you matter. The work that you do is being seen. It's shown time after time after time. We see it. So new music. Hopefully, man, we want to get back on the road. You know, more tours to come. Cool. Man, we working on podcast content. Like, it's a lot. seat placement records type stuff.
How can people get on the Discord? I know I hit you one time. You said you were on the Discord.
We got Discord, man. All right, so like, we wanted a place where we could centralize our people, our fans, our supporters, listeners that think like us, that feel like us, that identify with, you know, our similar struggles we all have. And we just wanted to centralize them and give them a safe space where they can engage and interact with us.
Yeah.
And so we created the Discord, and shout out to Derek, man. He actually kicked it off. Derek Minor, big bro. He kicked it off, and man, we utilized that space just to connect with our fans. Social media can make it really difficult now to, you know, connect you with the people that really like your music. You know, it can be difficult with the algorithm and whatnot. So we wanted to say, all right, well, shoot, whenever we want to tap in with our fans, we can. Whenever we want to tap in with our people, we can. There's a space where we can. So on the Discord, man, we work on these videos. We try to encourage people every Monday. We put out a video, put it out on YouTube on our Vigilantes United page. And, we just try to give like a quick minute to six minute video, just encouraging, our audience. And then Tuesday nights, man, we discuss that video, and talk through the topic of the night. And so, it's a good challenge. It's a good way to connect, but also to, if it's fans that are really struggling with some stuff in life, we can have a direct conversation on a Tuesday night and talk through it. Send us a message or whatever, but you get to be in the Discord and have a voice there. So,
man, I like that. I like that. So the Discord, people can get to the Discord. How do they get to? They may already know. I'm just saying some folks may not.
Special invite only. Woo. You got to DM me. Yeah, nice. You got to DM me. You got to DM me for the link. And I think we got about 350 some people in our Discord now.
I love that.
So like, but you got to DM me. And I send you the link, is a safe space. It's a safe place for people who really need a space, know.
Yeah, that's
so we try to filter out who's able to like really get in and who's going to take it serious. Cause if we feel like you're not going to really take that time or that space serious or at least get along with the people that's in that space, then it's this might not be the space for you.
Well, man, Aaron, I'm blessed to know you as a man of God, and blessed to journey with you on this travel, man, as God got us on this journey, man. It ain't about the destination, it's about the journey. The journey, in some regard, is the destination, and God leads us in those spaces, man. And always want to have you on the air talking as you have new things going on, as you want to challenge the folks listening. Yo, here's my bars for the show, man. In May of 1985, a young brother named Randy Reed was working on a water tower in Chicago, and he was standing on a scaffolding. He unloosened his safety clip thing or whatever and reached for a bar to do some more welding. Man, the scaffolding tipped. He slipped and fell 110 feet into a dirt pile. The man fell. He just had lunch, had a bologna sandwich, whatever, and fell 110 feet into a dirt pile. Now, when the ambulance came, he complained about a sore back and his back was a little tense, but he still had a little humor in him, right? The man fell 110 feet and he's jokingly with the ambulance driver saying, "Hey, don't drop me," quote unquote. He's going only to a 3-foot height of a board that they're going to put him on to put him in the ambulance. And he's saying, "Don't drop me." That is funny. Sometimes we resemble that same construction worker. God just saved you from 110 foot drop, but you suspect God on faith for a 3-foot drop. God, you just delivered this. You just impacted this. You got to heal this, God. You restore this, God. This happened, but you don't remember that when it comes to this 3-foot challenge, this faith challenge. My challenge is to you is to step into it. Go ham, go crazy. Trust in God. God, I believe, is bored to death because we haven't stepped into a faith walk that wakes him up to say, now we're about to open the sea. Now we're about to bring some healing to your family. Now we're about to have conversations with people in your household on the block that you never thought would come together to bring peace. Yo, don't let 110 drop of healing that God has brought be suspect of our 3-foot challenge of faith in your walk with the Lord. Yo, it's Pastor Phil, Church on the Block. I'll holla at you. Thank you for listening to Church on the Block, real talk about hip-hop, the church, and the streets. We're back here, same time, same day, next week. Come with us. Tell them it's crazy in these streets. Tell them it's crazy in these streets. Tell them it's crazy.